Ladies and gentlemen, Texans and Tejanos, you are tuned to the show that talks the talk and walks the walk. It's Pratt on Texas. Now, here's your host, Robert Pratt.
From the True Texan Studio, I'm Robert Pratt, and this is the Texas Hour from Pratt on Texas, your home for Texas political and news analysis, all done without a donor or management-controlled leash or muzzle. Our Lone Star story of the day, Lubbock faces a pro-marijuana use proposition on the May 4th ballot. Early voting's underway. What of all the libertarian and other promises of the benefits of legal weed? Three words. Up in smoke. Create a more reliable and safer workplace with a drug or alcohol testing program from Allied Compliance Services. Visit AlliedCompliance.com or phone 800-411-6906. Allied Compliance Services sponsors our Lone Star story of the day. We've got a huge stench of local government story, how a local political mafia treats bond debt election opponents in Granbury. Also, the Texas Supreme Court issued a temporary block of Harris County's new cash giveaway welfare program. That and much more ahead. Listen to Pratt on Texas anywhere, anytime, on demand, whenever it fits your schedule. Get a recording of today's show and other podcast extra interviews at prattontexas.com. All right, my friends, the Attorney General, at the District Court, and then the local Democrat-dominated Appellate Court lost his effort to stop the so-called guaranteed income program being, it's a lottery-type welfare program being run by these leftists that have taken over the state's largest county, Harris County. And he lost at those levels, and I let that pass. It was in the stack last week. I can't remember if in the last couple of weeks. I don't remember if I mentioned it or not, because I knew that's what would happen, that what mattered was when this got to the Supreme Court. So late yesterday, the Attorney General sent out a press release saying that the Attorney General filed for emergency relief with the Supreme Court of Texas to block Harris County's, quote, guaranteed income, quote, program that violates state law. Previously, the Office of Attorney General sought a temporary injunction against the unlawful handout program. After a lower court denied Texas' request for emergency relief, the OAG immediately filed an emergency motion with SCOTUS, or they know that's the Supreme Court of the U.S. What do we call it here? Now they call it SCOTEX, which is just awful. Let's just call it the state Supreme Court. Texas, it won't be long, we'll just be calling it SCROTUM. Some of these acronyms have just become awful. Texas is asking the Supreme Court to intervene and pause the program while lower courts consider merits of the case. And, you know, the point was the AG sued Harris County over this thing for this welfare scheme because the Constitution of the state of Texas forbids any county, city, or town or other political corporation or subdivision of the state to grant public money or thing of value in aid of or to any individual, end quote. Which, by the way, I think is always been there, and I have long held, many people have long held, that this is why these corporate, you know, crony capitalism giveaways to companies are not legal. But then again, they say, well, that's not an individual. Those are corporations, except that, well, that gets into a whole other area. I think they're all wrong. I think it's wrong for the government to grant emoluments, you know, hand out money to people. Harris County's program gives people $500 cash payments for 18 months with zero strings attached to it. And they have to win to be one of those sort of like a lottery thing. They all apply and then they pick 1928. And it violates, but this is what clearly what the Constitution is about. And I told you, I did mention that the media went on a spree last week about, well, how come he's never sued other ones? There have been other similar programs and all this stuff. Okay, well, so what? That doesn't mean they were right. Doesn't mean he was Attorney General then, but it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. The Harris County thing's particularly egregious the way it's put together. Well, today, this afternoon, the Supreme Court did indeed temporarily pause the program a day before. And I love how the Houston Chronicle puts it. A day before participants, some of the most impoverished families in the region were supposed to begin receiving financial aid. First of all, you don't even know that. There's so much fraud in these kind of things. It's just so stupid. It doesn't matter. Nobody, you know, and you get that leftist AOC clone judge down there, Hidalgo. My heart breaks for these families. This is a state, once again, trying to bully Harris County, and these folks get caught in the middle. The Supreme Court, we know it is partisan. It's most likely to rule against us. Oh, her heart breaks. Let me explain something, Hidalgo. Nobody elected you to be able to take the property of other people and hand it to others. I understand that that's what you as socialists and Democrats believe. But what's funny is how you never stop and realize and never stop and even consider how that harms people. Because you have it in your minds that it's always just rich people who have plenty of money. Whenever y'all take and give to anybody, you always think of it as it's, well, we're just taking from people who have plenty, which doesn't make it morally right. But we understand how you can justify that. But in reality, it's the working folks who pay for all this stuff. It's the people who are those people that you cry about. You know, they live in food deserts. My gosh, they have to drive more than 10 blocks to get to a grocery store with fresh vegetables. You know, all the litany of sob stories that you Democrats always have. Who do you think pays for all this welfare stuff? It's the working folks. That's who do it. And they're the ones who it makes a huge difference to. $40 a month more may be the difference between owning a home or not. $100 a month more, but you don't care about property taxes. You raise them all the time. The point is, the folks who are in that working bubble are the people most harmed and unable to grasp the American dream, even when they work hard, because of what, you know, well-off Democrats and well-off Republicans say, well, it's only $80 more a year on the average home. And of course, the other taxing entity there for that one. So put them all together. It's only $200 more a year and 2 years down the road, you know, on bond elections and everything else. This, we're for the little guy stuff from the Democrats, is the biggest bunch of, to use one of the Biden's favorite phrases, malarkey. It's one of the biggest concepts of malarkey or malarkey concepts in the history of the world. It's why it fails everywhere when they get free rein to go at it fully. The people most hurt by these kind of things are the folks who are at those key critical steps at being upwardly mobile financially and culturally in our society. They are most oppressed by property tax increases, by other tax increases, and particularly by regulation that increases the cost of labor, pushes them out of the labor market if they don't have skills worth what government makes the cost of labor to be in an artificially inflated price, and all the other do-good programs. And I'm glad the Texas Supreme Court's told them no for now. We'll hear a ruling on it. I'm interested in the case for what I mentioned earlier. I want to see how they rule on that and differentiate the part of the Constitution, because it does say that an individual, in other words, you're not supposed to grant public money or thing of value in aid of or to any individual. That's long been considered to mean that you can't, as a government entity, any subdivision of the state, call out a person and award an emolument to them, to award money to them. Now, there have been the other argument is, well, but when it's done in general through a program with all this, you know, that's okay. Well, I don't know. We'll see. I think it's very good to have the Texas Supreme Court look at this case and decide on it. And you can bet they'll flop around and make sure that that doesn't include businesses and things for economic development money. But when you really think about all of these handouts, you realize just how awful it all is. Because it's a transfer of money taxed out of people, involuntarily taxed from people in one way or another, and handed over to other people for those people's gain. And it's just plain wrong, period. Just remember this, there is nothing charitable about forced charity.
More from the True Texan Studio after this.
It may sound impossible, but Isabel and I have done it, having big fun while going to the dentist. Dr. Sylvia Zuniga's practice in Costa Rica is personal with the highest level of service and quality I've experienced for anything. Her office is near most of the embassies and a place perfect for walking and enjoying the wonderful weather. If you want top dental work at amazingly affordable prices, learn more about Dr. Sylvia Zuniga and dental care by clicking the banner at PrattonTexas.com.
having your teeth fixed and beautiful can be affordable and even fun.
Building owners, architects, builders, and others who design and construct in the great state of Texas, it's about time you inform your colleagues about being Texan. In your business, that starts with this one fact that seemed to be widely known a few decades ago, but has been lost to many with the influx of new Texans. The Texas Government Code, Section 3100.055, display of the Texas flag on flagpole or flagstaff with flag of the United States, subsection B reads, if the state flag and the flag of the United States are displayed on flagpoles or flagstaffs at the same location, the flag should be displayed on flagpoles or flagstaffs of the same height. Respect Texas, our flag code, and our culture. Stop setting poles and staffs lower than the national standard flies. The Texas flag is to fly when on a separate pole at the same location at equal height to the flag of the United States. Protect Texas. Do it right, please.
He reads the entire state press each day, so you don't have to. It's your Texas anchorman, Robert Pratt, with Pratt on Texas.
Welcome back to Pratt on Texas. KTXS had a great story. Shackelford County Sheriff survives 100-foot drag during traffic stop arrest out of Shackelford, Shackelford County. The sheriff, Sheriff Miller, was trying to get a guy to stop and put his car in front of him. The guy just took off, and 77-year-old Johnny Barnett was arrested on two counts of attempted capital murder of a peace officer or a fireman following the incident. Anyway, it's a really interesting story. The sheriff sat with K-Texas and told about his experience going through it, and it was quite interesting. I recommend that story to you, KTXS. Gunman identified in incident that critically wounded Corpus Christi PD officer. I told you about this police officer fighting for his life, and he and his family need your prayers. I bring it up again to tell you that Officer Hicks is fighting for his life at a local hospital in Corpus Christi after this guy, Colton Foster, 26-year-old Colton Foster, pulled out a gun and shot him during an altercation. And then, of course, the other police that were there killed that 26-year-old. Officer Hicks and his family are in need of your prayers. Harris County deputy struck by vehicle on Highway 99 in Cypress has died. Fox 26 reporting that Sheriff Gonzalez in Harris County says their deputy investigator, John Hampton Kodu, was assisting with the crash scene when he was struck by vehicles. Another one of these stories, it was 9:30 this morning. Their vehicles are stopped in the grassy median. Somebody's not paying attention, probably using their phone or something like that. Looks up, sees the deputy's vehicle, swerves to avoid, and then runs over someone there. And deputy was life-flighted, taken from the scene by helicopter, but later died. Terrible story. Subpoena shows the FBI asked for the city of Progreso's payroll data. We've been covering this story for a long time. Dave Hendricks, Valley Central, says looking at the subpoena, it's in January, they were looking at the payroll data in the city of Progreso. Of course, the FBI and the U.S. Attorney's Office won't comment on the subpoena, but they say it's part of the investigations that started back in 2020 when Border Patrol caught a former school bus driver with 30 pounds of cocaine. That driver started, flipped and cooperated with the government. Prosecutors brought charges against eight people, including former Progreso School Board President Frank Alanis and his brother, the mayor of Progreso, Jerry Alanis. And documents filed by the federal prosecutors linked the Alanis brothers to a drug trafficking organization smuggling cocaine from the Rio Grande Valley to Houston. In October of last year, the mayor, Frank, was arrested. We covered that. Federal agents found $250,000 at his mother's house and a whole bunch of other stuff. Jerry is accused of participating in the scheme to store drugs in the middle school in Progreso. We've reported on that. The U.S. attorney said there's a chokehold, the influence and power the Alanis brothers have in the city there. That's what you get with political machines, people. They've pleaded not guilty. They're tentatively scheduled for trial in May. And so the question is now, interesting. What do they think is in the payroll records at Progreso? How far does this cancer reach into the city government? Tesla going to lay off, they announced yesterday, a whole bunch of people because the downturn in the vehicles. Everybody's making a big deal of it. Well, I'm sorry, all the vehicle manufacturers go through this all the time. 2,700 employees will be laid off at the Giga Texas Austin factory. It's a small percentage, but it's a lot to those people. That from a Warren letter to the state. Mansfield scores 500 job advanced manufacturing facility and a regional headquarters for Crystal Window and Door Systems, which is part of a New York company that makes energy efficient vinyl and aluminum windows and high-end window systems for buildings. And they're getting another one of these handouts of our money to them, $3.15 million from the Texas Enterprise Fund, the governor bragging about that. 500 jobs, good for them. Medical provider agrees to withdraw from Texas instead of complying with investigation into gender transition, quote-unquote, transsexual treatments for minors. The attorney general reached agreement with Seattle Children's Hospital. If you'll recall, the AG had demanded records from them. They sued and said they wouldn't give it up. The press today is saying, well, the hospital kind of won. They won't turn over their records to the lawsuit with Texas, the settlement. But the fact is they settled and they pulled out and made sure they're not in Texas. And the press has said, well, they weren't even doing work here. They've won this over AG. They weren't even engaged in stuff in Texas, except, yeah, they don't operate healthcare facilities in Texas. But they did admit that they had people who work remotely and live in Texas. And they claim they didn't advertise their services in Texas. Well, you know, who knows? Because how else did the AG's office get on to these people? A lot of the AP and other stuff on this today is highly suspect, because this would have never come up to the AG's office if there wasn't some elements that they were violating our law with these drugs and things like that to minors in Texas. And they've entered into a settlement, so I don't think they did just disprove anything the AG alleged. Congressman John Carter of Texas, his office in Georgetown was heavily defaced and vandalized by one of these anti-Semitic, you know, Jew-hating people. Red paint everywhere, all over it. He called them unhinged anti-Israel activists. Let's be clear, these are Jew haters. And they're part of the modern left. Nazism is a thing of the left, despite what you've been propagandized with your entire life. That stands for it's a socialist party. But the left controls the academy, and they've told you your whole life that Nazism and fascism is of the right. You'll even see people who know better who make that comment, and that's ridiculous. Fascism itself can be right or left, but Nazism was of the left. Anyway, big cost, over $2,000 to clean up the damage done there. Today in Texas history, sort of a musical day in Texas history, sponsored by Hub City Title, Lubbock's local title company. If you're in Lubbock, use them. HubCityTitle.com, they're Lubbock's premier title and escrow company. They're great folks. They have in-house title examiners. They sponsor our look at Texas history. It's a musical day. This is the day that Roy is my old friend, a legendary broadcaster, Jerry Bowl Coleman used to always say when he introduced it, Roy. It's no Abbott exactly right, but it was like that. Sat in the studio with Jerry Bowl, old friend, and he would always, Roy. Roy Orbison, born in Vernon, then grew up in Wink in West Texas, formed the Wink Westerners, then went to North Texas and transformed them into a rock and roll band, the Teen Kings, and played throughout West Texas. Of course, huge fame worldwide, globally inducted in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in 1987. And from some friends of the show and people in Lubbock, I have heard some very hilarious firsthand stories about Roy. He was a little different, to put it lightly, than almost all these other great musicians that came out of the area. He was an artiste. Don't talk to me about money. I'm an artiste. It's hilarious stories. Anyway, it's also the day, that was April 23rd, 1936, 88 years ago today, 40 years ago today in 1984, legendary jazz pianist William Red Garland died in Dallas, where he'd been born in 1923, played clarinet and alto saxophone, learned to play piano from servicemen at Fort Huachuca in Sierra Vista, Arizona. He left the Army in 44, joined a band led by Buster Smith, and was playing nightclubs in New York City very soon. He was part of one of the most exciting periods of jazz evolution, which is the true all-American, uniquely American form of music in the world. Much of the 50s jazz, now regarded as classic, was built upon Garland's characteristic block chords. He achieved his greatest fame as a member of Miles Davis Quintet, 55 to 58. After leaving that group, he started his own trio, returned to Dallas in 65 to take care of his mother. made a few public appearances, performed several times in New York, cut a new album. Last performance was at the Park Central Jazz Festival in Dallas in 1981. He was a great. Red Garland died this day in 1984. And in 1962, Duane Eddy performed Deep in the Heart of Texas on American Bandstand. That's Today in Texas History, sponsored by Hub City Title, hubcitytitle.com.
Keep that six-shooter at your side. Front on Texas will be right back after this.
We've been to our official dentist in Costa Rica several times over the years, and it all started with my dental emergency. My lowest quote in Lubbock just for the emergency work was a huge amount. My neighbor had been using Dr. Zuniga for years and put me in touch. Soon we were in beautiful Costa Rica, and the entire trip, lodging, flights, great dining, everything for two, cost us less than the lowest dental quote at home and included both of us having all of the dental work we needed, including replacing all our old metal fillings. Click the dental care banner at proudontexas.com to get started.
Why does keeping up with the news have to be so hard? It's like sorting through a mountain of garbage. We're here to change all that. 21st Century Watch Magazine. It's quarterly, conservative, and completely free. Call 903-561-7070 or go to 21stcenturywatch.com. We'll never sell your information, cancel anytime. Call 903-561-7070 or go to 21stcenturywatch.com for your free subscription.
Specialty Trucks of Lubbock. It's in the name, Specialty Trucks. Specialty Trucks of Lubbock finds good trucks and reconditions them to be ready to work for you and your business. Mike and Jason have repeat customers from all over the country, even Alaska. Call 806-687-1115 to get Mike and Jason working for you. Visit specialtytrucksoflubbock.com and see their inventory. Solve problems and save money with Specialty Trucks of Lubbock. It's in the name, Specialty Trucks. specialtytrucksoflubbock.com.
He's a bullfrog with a bullhorn, and he's not afraid to use it. Now, more Pratt on Texas.
Welcome back to Pratt on Texas. For those of you in Lubbock, the election voter recommendations, including those three places on the new board of directors for the appraisal district and the mayor's race, all that, some Lubbock ISD races, all of that for voters in Lubbock is up at prattontexas.com. For those of you in Abilene, some of you may have been wondering, I keep saying every county with 75,000 plus has an election for these three new members to the appraisal board of directors. You don't have one because only one person filed for each office and they were declared elected. Well, that's why you don't have one going on there. And that's probably because you didn't know about it. And no doubt, probably, I don't know the people on there, but it wouldn't surprise me if the insiders didn't put out the word and got their buddies, so that you're not going to see much from that. But don't worry, there'll be new opportunities in the future to elect taxpayer-friendly people to the appraisal board of directors. Also, there is a really great piece, very in-depth technical piece. She's sort of a technical writer and science writer, our friend Sandy Swark. And it's their Lubbock's Pro Marijuana Proposition A, Texas is Watching. And I said at the top of the show as our Lone Star story of the day, Lubbock faces this pro-marijuana use proposition. What of all, and I talked about this yesterday, this is serious. This should matter to every conservative in the state. If Lubbock goes this way and this becomes a pivot point election, I've been told by legislators it will not, we can't hold it off for but maybe one or two more sessions statewide if we do this, like some of these other failed places that have done it, the legal weed and everything. Also, if Lubbock moves in this direction, the state will lose its single largest urban solid Republican voting block. And in these close elections, like for senator and things, this is serious. This is a big election. But what of all the libertarian and other promises of the benefits of legal weed? I mean, even Bill Buckley was, in his later years, was talking about getting rid of the war on drugs because it cost so much, it hadn't accomplished much. Well, I told you we already knew the answer to this with cigarettes. When governments say, okay, something's legal, but we're going to tax the heck out of it and we're going to regulate it, that creates a false margin. And then all of a sudden, cigarettes become the number one thing the mafia deals with in the northeastern United States. And that's true all over. And the same things happen with legal weed. Luke Nifaratos had a fabulous piece at The Spectator back in October of this last fall. I've had it in the stack since then. When Colorado became the first state to legalize marijuana for recreational use in 2014, expectations were as high as its users. For decades, activists, investors, and lobbyists assured Americans that the legalization of marijuana would displace the black market, generate an influence, and that was important, and I understand the argument. Displace the black market, generate an influx of tax revenue to finance schools and hospitals. That's, they always promise that and stuff. Halt senseless arrests and improve racial equity, all without attracting the attention of kids. In the run-up to legalization in Colorado, officials projected a $70 million jump in tax revenue from the hundreds of marijuana and THC products in newly minted dispensaries and licensed shops and budgeted accordingly. They learned quickly that the expectations didn't live up to the reality. Kind of like the lottery, bringing in around $44 million in its first 4 years of operation, not $70 million. And while revenue did grow from 2015 to 21, sales are down more than 20% over the past 2 years as the state deals with oversupply and the expansion of the black market, with legalization's expansion producing an influx of cartel activity. Folks, this is why you hear me say I'm not against gambling in Texas. But I don't want the state to regulate it in any way whatsoever. Robert, it could be crooked. Yeah, well, it always favors that. That's the point. The moment you regulate it and you put false margins in it, you get rid of the whole thing of getting rid of the illegal activity. More than a decade after Colorado became the first state to legalize marijuana in 2012, it's apparent that legalization has mostly failed based on the very criteria that was put forth by its champions. Now, they've moved on to new arguments since then, folks. Colorado's problems are beginning to bleed into neighboring states, despite the Marijuana Policy Project's pledge that legalization, quote, will replace the uncontrolled illicit market with a tightly regulated system, end quote. In Oklahoma, where nearly two-thirds of residents voted against recreational legalization in March of last year, residents have seen how the legalization of medical marijuana on its own borders and its neighbors' recreational regimes ushered in an illicit market for the drug. A December 22 report from the Wall Street Journal uncovered that Oklahoma has become a top source of illicit marijuana grows associated with human trafficking, murder, and shootouts. Federal law enforcement's observed the same trend across the landscape in the wake of legalization of marijuana in 23 states, as well as Washington, D.C. The Drug Enforcement Administration explained in its latest national drug threat assessment, many polycrime and polydrug organizations are involved in domestic marijuana production, often establishing large-scale illicit grow operations in states that have legalized marijuana. Yeah, folks, there have been huge headlines in the last 6 months in California, where the cartels from Latin America are in there taking over stuff, I mean, at gunpoint often, and running these illegal grow operations. Sorry. Said, indeed, marijuana generates millions of dollars that furthers the scope of their criminal activity throughout the U.S. The funds from illicit marijuana fund human trafficking, arms trafficking, and countless other underground operations. Notably, transnational criminal organizations from Mexico and China have come to operate these illicit grows, they call them grows, legalizations given the cartels cover to operate, where they're able to undercut the prices of state-sanctioned industry, meaning regulated, and export products to states where it remains illegal. In California, the nation's largest market for marijuana, two-thirds of total marijuana sales still occur, two-thirds, in the illicit market. In other words, the drug dealer market, folks. New York Governor Hochul estimated 2,500 unlicensed marijuana shops popped up in New York City alone following legalization. 2,500. And a 2022 report from, and she's a liberal, from Leafy, a pro-marijuana publication, estimated that 80% of sales in New Jersey, 60% in Michigan, 55% in Illinois remain in the illicit market, the drug dealer market, that supposedly legalization was going to get rid of, folks. The threat to public safety extends to the street level. Dispensaries have become top targets for break-ins. The city of Denver reports this last year that marijuana businesses make up less than 1% of all businesses in Denver, but account for approximately 6% of all reported business burglaries. In December of 22, thieves in Los Angeles stole hundreds of pounds of marijuana from a dispensary. In March of 23, criminals in Santa Cruz stole $500,000 worth of marijuana. New York City's already dealing with a citywide 50% increase in burglaries since 2019, which is why everything from shampoo to toothpaste sits under plexiglass. Perhaps the mass introduction of dispensaries will give a brief reprieve to Duane Reade, that's a drugstore chain, and the ghost town that was once known as Fifth Avenue, but police officers will be plenty busy tracking down thieves who peddle stolen products across the five boroughs. The breathless assurances that legalization represented a death blow to cartels and criminals turned out to be a mere pipe dream. The only entities that were supposed to get rich off legal weed were government. Marijuana regulations associated with increased tax revenue, says NORML. That's the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws. And they assured voters and politicians this. It turns out, as in Colorado, the tax revenue is far less than expected. The revenue from the sales is negligible in terms of the total state budget. In California, the marijuana accounted for only 0.63% of the state's budget. In Oregon, it's 0.3%, less than a third of a percent. Both states, these big liberal states, marijuana consistently failed to meet projected tax revenues put forth by agencies and lawmakers, leaving the child care and drug treatment that were supposed to be funded by legal weed hundreds of millions of dollars short. Inflated tax estimates were used to help win over support from skeptical voters who are being asked to vote on legalization at the ballot box. But legalization has failed to eliminate the black market, which is really the only reason. Making government rich is not a good reason for anything. Getting rid of the criminal black market was the only legitimate reason that made any sense at all behind this legalization and decriminalization mess. I'll pick up with more on this in a moment on Pratt on Texas.
It's time for Pratt to breathe. Pratt on Texas returns in a moment.
Save money, time, and avoid days, even weeks of stress. Don't trash a perfectly good laptop because a keyboard screen or other part like an internal battery has a problem. Jeff Barker Computer Service can fix it. No minimum charge, free estimates. Keep your computer running without the extreme hassle, risk, and expense of changing machines. Ask Jeff Barker Computer Service what it'll take to repair, restore, or upgrade your existing computer. Visit jbcs.com. jbcs.com for Jeff Barker Computer Service.
A bank with a triple threat. Now that's interesting. New Lubbock Leadership, a new branch in Palm Beach, Florida, and a checking account that offers 5.25% annual percentage yield. That's right, a checking account with rates like a CD from a bank that's been blocking out for you for over a century. That's smart. Vista Smart. Vista Bank, Texas owned and operated since 1912. Member FDIC.
Lubbock area friends, it happens every year when the weather warms up. Almost all the household pests hatch and spread at about the same time. Call Gafford Pest Control today to have your place treated inside and out. Then you won't be stuck like most people waiting up to 2 weeks or more to get treated. It happens every year without fail, so call now. Gafford Pest Control, 792-4292. Don't wait, as you'll end up waiting even longer. Call Gafford Pest Control now, 792-4292, and be sure and tell them Pratt on Texas sent you.
He's back and ready for more. It's Robert Pratt with Pratt on Texas.
Welcome back to Pratt on Texas. Continuing with this piece from The Spectator on the promises of legal weed going up in smoke. Legalization failed to eliminate the illegal criminal black market. Many users continue to prefer the cheaper product on the corner. Policymakers have attempted to roll back tax rates to keep up with cartel prices. Yes, that's really happening. Erasing one of the most common selling points of legalization. States can't maximize tax revenue and displace the illicit market for marijuana at the same time. Insiders know this from experience. Former Colorado weed czar Andrew Friedman once insisted to a Boston radio host that, quote, "You do not legalize pot for taxation. It is a myth. You're not going to pave streets. You are not going to be able to pay teachers," end quote. But that was before he went to work for the Coalition for Cannabis Policy Education and Research, CPEER, the tobacco industry's advocacy group. CPEER routinely argues the taxation of cannabis provides new and robust funding stream for local and state governments. Facts cannot be allowed to interfere with the lobby's most effective selling point. Tax coffers may rattle, but at least marijuana will improve racial equity, given that black people are more likely to hear this in Lubbock and these pro-drug users that are pushing this proposition. Black people are more likely to be arrested for the possession of marijuana than white people, right? Well, the American Civil Liberties Union, a bunch of lefties, once declared that marijuana legalization is a racial justice issue, found that arrest ratios have only worsened, as white users are more likely to pay the premium for the legal license product, meaning whites gonna in bigger percentage ratio are going to buy the legal stuff and blacks by percentage are not. So it's made the problem worse. Its 2020 report found blacks were 3.64 times more likely to be arrested for marijuana offenses in 2018, the most recent year in the report. That was almost doubled. It was up from 3.57 in 2012. In other words, their racial equity thing got worse with the legalization. Nor has legalization been a boon to black neighborhoods and entrepreneurs, despite assertions from this lobbying group, CPIR, that legalization could provide restorative opportunities for communities in which they reside. This has failed to take place thus far. In 2022, Fortune reported black people account for less than 2% of the owners of marijuana businesses nationwide. By the way, to account for that in New Mexico, they've got DEI quotas and rules to try to have as many minorities as possible own the marijuana shops. It's hilarious. I went to their state website and read all that stuff. It's just laughable. In Denver, where 9% of residents are black, only 4.4% of marijuana license owners are black. White people account for 69% of residents, but are more than 90% of license holders. To ensure racial equity, some states attempted to carve out special equity licenses, yet these programs are fraught with legal challenges. New York rolled out a program to prioritize the distribution of licenses to individuals who were previously convicted of marijuana-related crimes, only to find itself at the center of a discrimination lawsuit, and that program's now on hold, and Governor Hochul there is turning to existing medical marijuana giants, big companies, to fill the void from their little scheme that didn't work. Will a rush of corporate money, who said that? Who asked that question? The city asked, will a rush of corporate money, branding, and potential dominance of the wholesale market crush the prospects of the small farmers and justice-involved individuals the state's trumpeted as its priority? Yeah, we're going to solve racial justice by making access to a drug that makes you unemployable more available. This is as big a lie as the Planned Parenthood, Margaret Sanger eugenics lie, that we want to kill, we want to encourage blacks and other minorities to kill their babies because we're good, wonderful, loving people. Yeah, right. Story ends up, the answer's obvious to anyone who's paid attention to other state legalization regimes. Grassroots activists launched the legalization movement a few decades ago, but the effort's been co-opted by a multinational industry hoping to convert the U.S. into its next big market. Big marijuana will invest millions in New York's marijuana industry before small retailers are able to open their doors. Just as with alcohol and tobacco, the largest companies will dominate the market and develop a vertically integrated supply chain. Aspiring small business owners will struggle to compete and eventually be forced out. The cartel presence, of course, will remain all along because the government regulation puts a false price like it does for cigarettes on it. Thus, there's this artificial margin, which is huge. Much profit to be made by doing it illegally. He ends the piece. Recreational marijuana is now legal in nearly half the country thanks to an army of lobbyists, 115 in D.C. alone in 2022, armed with focus group approved talking points. The marijuana industry makes lofty promises about how legalization of such a harmless plant will generate millions in tax revenue, displace the black market, advance racial equity, and improve public health and safety. States that have taken the bait know that it's failed on all counts. A decade after Colorado launched the legalization experiment, it is about time lawmakers might start to recognize this campaign is from its fruits rather than its seeds and stems. It's been a disaster. Now, folks, I have many other stories I wanted to get to today, but with this on the ballot in Lubbock right now, in the state's largest conservative voting city, this decriminalization stuff, which, by the way, is contrary to state law and will not be able to be enforced or unenforced or however you want to put it. These people, I told you, by the way, thank you for not crediting me, but parroting exactly what I said a long time ago, State Representative Dustin Burroughs, because it's exactly right. He said it in a story I saw, that this isn't about the marijuana. This is community organizing, straight out of the Obama stuff. This is to get databases of people to then go to the next leftist issue and the next one and the next one. That's what I told you the real issue of this was in Lubbock. It's not, they know these laws, this whole ordinance, just like where they got it passed in Killeen and a few other places, can't exist under state law. They don't care. This is a community organizing issue. And I told you that, and I was the first and only one to tell you that in the beginning. I know what their playbook's about. I watch it every single day, and I've been watching it for decades and decades. This is a serious issue, and people in Lubbock need to reject this Proposition A by a massive margin. Again, there are the lobbyists. It's like this gambling stuff where, you know, you see that even ultra conservatives are getting tens of thousands of dollar donations from the just the one casino company, not the industry as a whole, just the Sands Corporation in Texas. The lobbyists everywhere to get casino gambling in Texas. Let me tell you, the drug industry stuff is even bigger. The lobby is massive. And once you see, if Lubbock passes this, holding this back, holding the floodgates back in Austin will be near impossible over the next 6 years. It takes about three sessions to do something big. And this is the stuff the Democrats dream of. The Democrats dream of it because, you know, their entire philosophy, the leftist philosophy worldwide, globally, all everywhere without exception, is to have a populace that doesn't think, is basically mentally stoned. Let's just put it that way, that they can bus out or get out. That's why they want vote by mail, because these people don't get out and vote. But the minute you had vote by mail, you passed this and every other kind of leftist thing in Colorado and destroyed a once balanced state that leaned Republican, instantly destroyed it. Because now you can use your big money, get out the vote deals, just get them to the people's hands, tell them just fill it out and send it in the mail. Let me tell you, this is all part of a giant strategy. And the leftists and tyrants everywhere have always given them, you know, bread and circuses. They're all for this, getting everybody stoned and everybody petering their money away and stuff like that. And then they act compassionate, like in Harris County. You know, well, we'll get you to throw away $3,000 a month of your children's income for your housing, but we'll give you a stipend of $500 and make you think we're helping you. This is evil. It is straight out of Satan. It has nothing to do with what you think about marijuana as a product or not. This is politics. And the legalization stuff has not met the promises. Bingo, period. That's the data. So that's it. Vote against it in Lubbock. The clock's got me, my friends. Long live liberty. Long live Texas. And may God bless us all. And most importantly, make us a people worthy of his blessings. Adios, mis amigos.
Hear all the great Texas music Pratt on Texas is famous for by listening to the show on the air or by stream. 5 to 6 p.m. Central in Lubbock. Tune to 98.7 FM or 1420 AM on KWBF. In Abilene and the Big Country, tune to 96.1 FM Q Country.